Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Maybe I'm crazy, but lightsabering is not a sport.
Okay, there's a new world, new day. It's
no,
a new day.
No, it's not.
It's a new day. No, it's nerds run the world now.
That's true. Welcome to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. That's Brandon Newman.
Hola.
Who's apparently making points today.
Yay.
Dante Jones will join us today, NBA vet and and friend. And Fox Sports family member. We've got a lot to talk about today. The NFL and Kaepernick have come to some sort of agreement.
Some sort.
We'll get into that. Antonio Brown is single-handedly running the NFL offseason content for the NFL.
Yes, thank you.
With some interesting hair choices. And well, not the hair choices, actually the colors, really. Although I figured it out. Like the blue and stuff, he's training at UCLA. So I feel like subconsciously the colors are influencing the coloring.
I don't want to tell people what they can and can't do with their hair.
No,
and colors and stuff, but it's jarring. And for him to act as if it's not.
Well, that's the point, is to act if it's not jarring.
Like this serious meeting with
Art
Rooney.
Like one day I'm going to come in here, my head is going to be completely shaved, and I'm going to act as if it's not.
Yes,
and then when anyone asks me what happened, I'm going to treat them as if they're morons for asking me.
What do you mean?
Because that's the best part of doing something like that. That's why you do it.
That is fair.
Yeah. Odell and the Patriots possibly teaming up, which would ruin all of our lives, but also be very interesting.
Oh my gosh.
Petticoat is Charles Barkley. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, the lightsaber thing. And baseball contracts are still doing that thing that they do, where they do the lots of money for lots of years. And then 10 years from now, we'll be talking about what a mistake that was. But we'll get to that later. Oh, and Cardi and Bruno's new song, which I love.
Yes. It's good that you love it.
I mean, make mistakes if you want to. Okay. And we'll talk about the Oscars. But let's get started with Dante Jones. All right. Welcome back, Dante Jones.
Hey. Peace.
Nice suit.
Thank you. I think I'm a little bit overdressed today, but it's cool.
It is what it is. Well, we were just talking about off the air. You could have worn one of your large white tees that you just found.
Oh, my throwback jersey?
So do you have a bunch of them at the house?
I have a storage bin full of throwback jerseys.
Throwback jerseys?
Because I thought he was going to come back, and they were worth something to me then. So I was like, you know what, we got to put these away.
Wait, jerseys? I thought you were talking about tall white tees.
Those two, probably.
No, because tall white tees. At that point in time, I was my first 4 years in the league. So like, when I wore a tall white tee, I was throwing it away right after. I have found a connect. So I had them at like $5 a piece.
That's called finish line. Your connect was finish line.
No. I had like the good ones. Good ones.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
So you shouldn't get rid of your throwback jerseys, though.
No. I need to, but you know what I did? I took some of them and I got them signed. So they're like, it's like a 54 or 60. So I got a 60 George Gervin.
What?
And I got it signed.
It's so ginormous. Let's talk about the people who aren't wearing throwback jerseys yet. So you're friends with LeBron.
That's the name of the podcast.
No, seriously, there's a lot going on. There's a lot that's happened with LeBron over the last couple weeks.
What? Every day it seems like something's going on.
Yes, and it's almost by the hour.
Okay.
They decided to give us like 2 days of rest, which is much appreciated.
All-star break.
All-star break, which we all needed, really. We all needed this all-star break.
Did.
Not just LeBron and the Lakers.
Yes, we did.
So what happens when they come back? Because they really need to make the playoffs.
Yes, they do. And what happens is a sharpened focus. I think guys get a way to compress and let all the bad stuff go away and to not have to worry about trade rumors or the possibility of things going on that can be out of their control. And guys get to really concentrate on basketball for the stretch and do something that some of those people have never done before, and that's make the playoffs and understand what playoff basketball is about. And I think that is enough to motivate that young group of guys over there, because you have some champions over there that's been down that path and can explain to you what it's like to be in the playoffs and to contend for a championship and what the finals is like. But you have to really be in it to understand it. And I think you have to give these guys an opportunity to grow and to get to the playoffs and see and to make them more hungry for that experience. Because once you get your first time in the playoffs, you're like, oh, yeah, I got to be here again. Because that's when people really know your name. Like, those guys are names in our culture. But, like, once they make the playoffs, they'll really have a name. Really, people will really be pulling them over on the street because right. that's the time of basketball where everybody's watching the same right. games at one time.
But with everything that's gone on with the trade rumors and them kind of just being lumped in as disposable pieces.
It's not disposable pieces because – that's the way people are making them look. But that core, that young core was something of value. And I always took it as something. Because you could have taken that young core and threw that to New Orleans. And that would have been a team that had time to grow. It's just that the Lakers didn't have the time to grow. Like, they
right,
expect them to go
I
to
mean,
the finals now.
You're going
when you sign
from
LeBron
Los
James,
Angeles
you guys
to want, New Orleans.
The Lakers fans want a championship tomorrow. And
right.
You can't
you
even get it tomorrow.
Those young people... because you have time. And don't you bring in LeBron? No?
Sometimes.
LeBron in the microwave?
Sometimes organizations draft people and sign people as assets purely.
Okay.
To move later. You right. got to think of it. It's like stuff that we, like sneakerheads buy a bunch of shoes.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? I'm going to buy all this because it's of value and somebody wants
right.
it. And I'm going to ship it over
I
there
really
and make
like
some
threes.
Money.
I'm going to buy them.
I'm
going to
get
though.
The threes because yeah. they limited. And somebody yeah. out there, I know somebody really wants this 14. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'm going to make
well,
my money.
Well, now that Kuzma and Lonzo and Ingram have all been made to feel as if they're threes.
Mm-hmm.
in the shoe game,
the shoe
right?
Game. How yes. do you then reprogram your mental state to I am now, I'm still committed to this organization who's shown they're not fully committed to me.
What?
Which I get what you're saying. Like, they had value, which is why they were put in the trade, but most people don't look at it that way right. when they're in it. And also, everyone really feels like LeBron is orchestrating all this. Like, he has a lot of say in what happens, whether, you know, anyone wants to admit it or not. And
your friend.
Yeah, your friend.
Yeah.
LeBron. And then at the end of the season, there's a lot of – yes, he does. And there's a lot of changes
what
that
I
are
do
happen.
Know is that he does not like to be involved as much as people think he does. Because at that point in time, then you can blame him. And yes, he has an opinion. And when you have a generational talent, like if you're running a team, you consult with a better basketball mind than yours, right?
Right.
Like if you have LeBron on your team, you're going to say, you know, LeBron, what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you could take that as he has control of the team and he's orchestrating the trade. Like if you said, LeBron, if Magic said, LeBron, you know what? You like AD? Yeah, I like AD. I could have did this. He could be cool with this and how Luke's running this.
Right.
Is that orchestrating or is that my opinion? If you ask somebody who's great their opinion, it's not orchestrating.
Well,
I don't think he runs in with like, you know what? This is the trade that we got to do.
Yeah.
Get them out of here.
I mean, he did run in like, you need to fire Eric Spoelstra. So he
me and Eric Spoelstra are not getting along. And that's part of communicating to the people that you sign a contract with. Like, you'll sign a contract and be like, listen, if you need anything, I have an open door. Come talk to me about it. Okay, me and Eric are not getting along and it's not going this way. This is what that open door is for, right? Like, that's what your manager or your boss says. Pat Riley, I would have promised when they signed LeBron, I bet my whole household on it, that, you know, if any problems, if things are not going how you think they should, my door is always open.
Yeah,
come talk to me.
People say that, yeah. but they don't really
and some
mean
people,
that.
And you're absolutely correct. And some people right. really use the door.
Right.
Like, I tried to use the door one time, and they were like, you know what? Go back downstairs and figure it out.
Speech,
but LeBron could be like,
he'll find something.
Yeah, I didn't know you were so literal about everything.
But LeBron probably goes in and uses his and voices his opinion because you have to communicate to win a championship is more than just the basketball court in the front office. They have to intertwine and work together because everybody has to feel at home. Everybody has to feel motivated. Some people have to be massaged. Some people have to be looked after. But it has to be one continuous flow of information going on at all points in time. Like,
do you
can't,
feel like that's
you can't
what's
divide.
Happening with the Lakers?
I think it's at the beginning stages of it because I think he signed for something to be able to communicate to the front office, communicate to the coaching staff. He signed on for that type of relationship, which the greats have. I think Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson were speaking on a constant basis. I think so. I think Kobe and Phil were speaking on a constant basis about the state of our team and how we're going to try to do this because that's what great organizations in any field of business. They communicate and go together for a common cause.
So we are supposed to believe that LeBron James, on his fourth team now,
sit here and believe.
Okay, is in Los Angeles on a four-year deal where he must win a championship.
Right.
He cannot miss the playoffs. These are not options for LeBron James. Like, literally, they could happen, but it's going to be a mark on his legacy, mm-hmm. whether we like it or not, because he's a polarizing player.
Absolutely.
Okay? So these things must happen. Mm-hmm. Is not being seriously consulted on every single move. Like, if you're like, I'm LeBron and I feel like Lonzo needs to be here. I'm not saying that's what he feels, but like, he's not going to be like, yeah, Lonzo can't be in that trade.
He's going to have answers. Like, you're going to ask him a question and he's going to answer the question. Is he going to be answering this question every day? No, you may have a broad conversation about it.
Okay, here's a better question. More along what I'm getting to. Do you think that those guys who are in those trade talks, like in those trade packages, feel some type of way towards LeBron at all? Because, you know, you're putting
into
a trade conversation,
you have
some sort of anxiety about possibly moving, and now you got to flip out of that. So maybe you feel some way towards the front office in some way or another. But do you feel that way? Is there any animosity towards LeBron, you think?
I don't think so, because you look at who you're getting traded for, another possibly generational talent. It's not like you're getting traded for somebody like you. You understand what I'm saying? Like, AD.
But do players think that way?
Yeah, I think they. I don't think they're as.
Because I don't think nobody
as much of a space cadet as you're claiming to be. No, I don't think they're the space cadets. And like, you know what? AD ain't better than me.
That's true.
You got to look at yourself in the mirror. And be like, you know what? AD is cold, and AD and LeBron would be something that I would like. You got? Would you do it if you were Magic Johnson? And I think someone could look in the mirror and be like, you know what?
I would not have traded all those pieces for Anthony
Davis. All of those pieces, but some.
I would have traded a lot. Could you
more than people think? Could you have gotten some of those on the free market?
Quality for the product is actually going on the court. Yes.
Okay, but here's the situation that the Lakers are in, though. That when you get LeBron James, it is a short-term solution to a championship. He's no longer building. Magic and the Lakers are no longer building for a legacy situation. They're building for a win a championship right now situation. LeBron is not going to play forever. He's got a four-year deal. You got to win a championship within the next 4 years. So your young core is no longer as important as it was before LeBron got here.
Right. So, and if you're adding AD, you're adding a piece of a young core. Like, he's not an old man.
He is 25.
So, okay.
So
I like that.
So you would have added AD, and you'd have tried to get another young superstar, and then you just fill it in with guys who know what they do.
Role players,
guys who are stars at their role. And you can get that on the free market.
What about Luke Walton?
What about Luke?
Well, everyone's pretty much reporting that he's not going to get fired, which I don't feel like he should be fired mid-season. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he should be fired mid-season. I don't think Brandon does either.
Absolutely. You're absolutely
it solves nothing. No. It's you're not going to bring in the person of the future
unless you have who you want to be your coach. If you've made your mind up who you – they obviously didn't hire him. So if you have who you want to be your coach, then you don't waste time.
Okay. Yeah. But I don't think
if you're going to do a coaching search and you haven't designated who you want, then you wait to the offseason.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't feel like they have a replacement that's better than Luke Walton. Maybe there are some personality situations
there are some out there because of the fact that you get coaches for different scenarios, right? There are coaches for a youth build, and there are championship coaches.
It's true.
So you can't put a champion, like you couldn't put Phil Jackson with the 76ers that were tanking. It wouldn't have worked.
Right.
Phil would have went nuts, and expectations of those guys, the triangle wouldn't have worked because those guys don't know who they are yet. Like Joel Embiid would have just been in there. He's not playing. Ben Simmons was hurt. Like Phil would have lost it.
Right.
And he didn't do great in the situation in New York because he didn't have the talent. Now he does well when he has talent, guys that I can use my system around. There are coaches out there that do well with talent and people manage and know how to work with talent. They don't know how to work with youth or build youth.
Right.
So I think Luke would be better for the building process.
So do you think that Luke is there next season?
I don't think so, but not at his fault. And that's not a detriment to his talent as a coach. Like, I think people think if Luke is fired, oh, man, he didn't do his job. No, he was hired on the rebuild.
Right. Well, no, I don't think I think that there's a lot of factors in this situation, particularly this year, that are not in Luke's control. Like, for example, LeBron hurting his groin. That can't control that. Can't control Lonzo getting hurt and Rondo and Kuzma having issues. Ingram struggling at the beginning of the season. All those things are out of his control. So I don't look at, and there's a lot of these situations where coaches get fired. I don't just look at the situation like, yeah, he sucked, it's his fault. There's a lot of things that go into the situation. But what about Luke's actual coaching? Because we always talk about the factors around him that don't make it his fault. Like, do you think he is making the right adjustments, and do you think his lineup is actually working? And do you think he's managed Lonzo well? Do you think that him and LeBron are actually on the same page? Like, do you think the actual coaching stuff is going well?
I think it's going as well as it could, because
why do I feel like you just gave me a political answer?
I had to digest everything that you just said. Like, okay. I wasn't going to just shoot off and just say anything. It would be hard for you to be coached by somebody your age. Let's give somebody else in his draft. Dwayne Wade. Dwayne saying, you know what, Brian, I'm gonna be your coach. He has a better relationship with Dwayne Wade than he does with Luke, right?
Yeah, I
have a friendship with Dwayne Wade, so now he can maybe tell me something, but it still would be hard because it's like, you know what? Like, do you really know what you're doing, bro? Like, honestly, like, are we really going
to is that Luke Walton's fault, or is that the person who's being coached fault?
It's not Luke. But there's no fault here.
Okay.
It's just that you have to hire the right person for the job. You can't assess fault.
The Lakers
hire
Phil Jackson.
You have to hire. Like, no. That would be perfect.
But no.
LeBron
and Phil Jackson have beef, remember?
You got to find somebody that
you're. That's back in the posse days.
You got to find somebody that your best player respects and listens to. I know for a fact that I got a coach out there with 4 finals appearances and a championship, and I know they have a relationship. I know that he respects him. I know.
Why is no one Googling right now? He just gave us a clue.
Tyronn Lue. Oh.
Yeah. No, I've been saying Ty Lue, though. And there's not like.
Tyronn Lue has 4.
Ty Lue
name
makes
another coach.
Sense to me.
Another number coach with 4 finals appearances and a ring out there on the market. I'll give you time. I'll give you a couple of days. Except Phil Jackson. Like,
right.
Well, Phil Jackson.
Okay,
not
so
an
then,
option,
so then
like,
let's say LeBron has a relationship and he does listen to him and he's been coached by him. The rest of the guys, like, they got to listen to him, because I've been here with you as a player.
Right.
I know he knows how to communicate to players. He knows how to listen to the player in some respect and kind of coach around the
Would
players.
Would Ty do that? Because he looked stressed towards the end of that Cleveland.
And also, I think he's had some time to decompress and understand.
I've been saying Ty Lue. Everyone keeps looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, Ty Lue makes the most sense.
But I think Ty stands out because he has finals experience. It's one thing for applied knowledge rather than when we get there, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, and the way he won that finals.
Right.
Some coaching had to happen.
And I'm the hardest on my friends, and I think we always are. Like, I was coached by Ty, and he impressed me on his preparation as a professional.
Right.
Being the ability to coach, but also the ability to communicate to the guys and reach them. Like, people think that LeBron was running Ty. I tell the story all the time of, like, we're in game 7 and it's halftime, and LeBron has played the whole 24 minutes. And Ty comes in there super upset and like, he ain't doing enough. Who are we talking about? Like, we're talking about JR? We're talking about Amon? Like, He ain't giving me what I, and he's ticked off. And I'm like, dog, I'm about to lose it on him. No, you not. You just don't want to tick him off. I would have said, please don't lose it on him. Like, kind of massage it a little bit, say it the right way. Nah, he need to hear it. His first set of speech was to LeBron. You need to do more. You need to do more. I'm doing everything. I need more.
How's the rest of the team reacting to that?
Looking like you looking now, like, so it puts everybody else on blast.
Right.
And then what LeBron does, he takes it. And that's the halftime speech. You need to do more. I need more from you. You didn't do this on this defensive play. You gave up here. If we gonna win this, I need it from you. They go take that, and then he goes and gives more.
Okay, so they get
because he could communicate to the top.
They need it from him because he's the best player, though, right? So from a player standpoint, because being a football guy, I've seen the negative effects on a team when your best player isn't your leader. And
but he is the leader.
But right now, they're talking about the Lakers. They said Rajon Rondo run the Lakers right now. They said Rajon Rondo is the one leading this young core and teaching them. You saw how everybody reacted when he made that big shot in Boston.
Who was hired to help the Big Three out and Rajon Rondo when they went on after they won their championship and they went on their run? Like, Doc Rivers hired Ty Lue to manage Ray, Paul, Rajon Rondo, and KG.
All roads lead to Ty.
Okay, so we've settled it. It's Ty Lue from the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Heard it here first from Dante Jones on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast.
It's my opinion.
We wanted to talk about some other players, but who cares? Because it's just really just about LeBron at the end of the day.
You're fine.
Okay, but really quickly before you go, do you think that the Lakers make the playoffs?
Yes.
Do they lose in the first round?
Depends on the seeding. If they can move up to 7, and now you got like Denver, I think they can take that Denver in 7 games.
Okay, and that'll give them confidence.
And
that gives them confidence.
And then
that?
Now you don't know who. Now you don't know what happens then, because now if the young guys get playoff confidence,
you think they can make
stars
it
are
seven?
Built in the playoffs. I think they can. 7 and 8 are not that far apart.
You know, Vegas is not even giving them a chance to make the playoffs.
That's cool.
Vegas knows everything.
Nah.
Mm-mm. Vegas can tell the future.
Vegas didn't think he was going to get a ring.
Vegas right? Yeah.
No, there ain't no way Vegas thought they was getting a ring. He got one though.
I didn't think I was getting a ring.
You gotta get a job.
Stars aligned for me. You know what I mean?
What two pieces do the Lakers need to get past Golden State? Assuming LeBron stays healthy and everything else is fine.
Any combination of AD and Kemba, AD and Kyrie, AD and...
But they got to get AD.
I think AD is a piece that you have to try your hardest to get. Because he's young. His youth and his ability on the court, like, you have to try your hardest to get somebody of his stature. And then you can put a guard next to those two and work it out.
Yeah.
Because the guards that we're talking about can shoot the ball, like can really catch and shoot, Kyrie and Kemba. So, and let's say Kawhi is like, you know what? I've been a Laker fan silently my whole life. Then you got something real.
Well, I mean, Kawhi, LeBron, and AD is ridiculous. Like, that's a Golden State level.
Stars.
Assembly. But
I'm not going to get
it appears
world.
That AD is the piece that they need most of all. Yeah.
I'm the last question. LeBron wearing too many hats, because I think he's wearing too many hats. He's putting out an album next Friday with A&R 2 Chainz album. I see him everywhere, and I'm so happy to see him, and I'm a big fan, and I'm so glad that he's spreading the wealth and educating and empowering so many people. But I don't know if he's going to win championship with his focus on all this other stuff.
Okay. The day of an athlete exists what from 9 to 3 on the court. Okay. 9 to 2. 9 to 1:30, okay?
Yeah, let's be real.
Let's keep it real.
Let's talk about LeBron's
9 to 1:30.
All right, but what's LeBron's schedule?
Listen to me. Hold on. 9 to 1:30. Let's talk to a normal athlete.
Okay.
What I get into from 1:30, let's say to midnight, I can get into some negative stuff. Or I can get into some positive stuff.
Okay.
When the athlete does something crazy, like hang out all night long or party and do all these things, that's a problem.
I'm fine with it. Do more, you know? Do as many projects as you want.
Just do more?
Just stay happy.
He can't do more. He can't do more.
I think that people are ridiculous with that.
Like, stay happy.
First of all, just because he signs off on something.
I'm happy he's here.
Like, he's executive producing. Okay, so we watched the final cut. Yeah, it's good.
How many hours you think he spent in the studio?
Like
he was out there like,
hey, LeBron,
putting
you
the
do
beat
this?
Together.
Do this? Yeah, okay. And then he watches the end of it and he's like, yeah, it's good. Put my name on it.
Yeah, listen to this. Oh, what you like? Oh, I like the drums. I like how you came here. Like,
call me
how
the executive
producer.
How
much input do you think he went? He went in there and created some stuff?
Okay.
Come on, man.
It'll be interesting. Well, thank you for joining us, Dante Jones.
Appreciate
LeBron James is his friend.
Yes.
Not the other way around. Very important that everyone knows that.
Yes.
Dante makes the calls.
No, not at all. Like, I ain't talked to him in a minute either. I've been working and he's working.
Yes.
And
it's
like,
cold in LA.
Yeah,
ain't going
man.
Outside.
It's raining in LA. Traffic is bad.
Naps. Like, we're not complaining about the weather, by the way. We know the rest of the country is getting slammed with bad weather. We appreciate California very much. Like, it's stopping a little bit, you know. But anyway, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes,
we'll have
you
again on soon if you'll have us. And
bye.
Hopefully I'll see you next year because I only get an invite once a year. But thank you for having me. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
What am I winning or quitting today?
Okay, 15 months after Colin Kaepernick filed grievance under the CBA for collusion against the NFL owners, he, Eric Reid, and the Shield agreed to settle. The terms of the settlement are hidden behind a confidentiality agreement, but joy, the NFL is smart for settling with Kaepernick. Win it or quit it.
Oh, yes, they are smart for settling with Kaepernick.
It's a woke decision to make.
That is the best decision that the NFL could have made. Mm-hmm. However, it is quite revealing and does not make anything go away, which is a good thing for all of us out in the content world. I think it would have been nice for some people to actually physically see the evidence of the collusion.
Yes.
Now, legally, they didn't admit to the collusion through the settlement.
That's why you have to settle. Because you don't have to do anything in the settlement.
Right. So it's like, we're not technically saying we colluded, but we feel compelled to give you millions and millions and millions of dollars, although we aren't saying that we colluded. So technically, there was no collusion. All the rest of us feel like if you didn't have any evidence of collusion, why would you settle? Now, a lot of those cases, you know, in civil settlements, that's an unfair assumption. In this case, the NFL has shown that they are willing to go to extreme lengths to persecute even their biggest star of the last 20 years for something that scientifically could have just been a little accident.
What are you talking about?
Deflategate. I mean, they destroyed the character of Tom Brady and tried to completely ruin his legacy over some deflated footballs, which in all fairness, I think was did happen. I did think that they deflated the footballs.
Oh, yeah,
I did think that they were deflated to within the legal space.
Right.
And I think that's pretty obvious considering
the
fact that the second half of that game was a complete destroyance.
Yes.
And, they've been fine ever since. So I really don't feel like it's clear everyone doesn't care about Deflategate anymore, although it was the biggest story in sports for like a year and a half.
Way too long, too.
Way too long.
Yeah.
But the point is they are willing to go to extreme lengths to prove their points. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to do that to Tom Brady, they got the biggest thing is they have long money. Like in any legal case, usually the person with the longer money in a civil case situation like these, they usually win because they can just fight this in court forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. And the NFL is owned by all billionaires who have a lot of money, all of them together.
Billions of dollars.
Right. So Kaepernick doesn't have billions of dollars backing him. I'm not positive if the Players Union is involved with that, but they were involved with Tom Brady's case in defending him, and that was also part of the reason why he ended up folding and taking the suspension because he didn't want to drain funds, any more funds from the Players Association or Players Union legal fund.
Right.
So the fact that they settled, to me, widely revealing. And they to me, it just says they had something of some significance that the NFL did not want revealed at the next level of court if they didn't settle here. So,
is there anything else that we don't already know, though? Because, like, the facts as they're laid out to us just by hearsay and what we've read up until this point, that's enough for Kaepernick to win a collusion case. That's why this Swift settlement feels very damning to the NFL because they clearly had things that were going to make it so Kaepernick was going to get paid out regardless.
I mean, he deserved the money that he got. Like, that's the bottom line in all of this. And I do think he got a lot of money. I think the $20, $30 million range, I don't think that that's what it was.
Are
I think it was
serious?
Much closer to the
$80 to
the $100 million range.
Yeah.
That's my impression of it. Because what he could, and his lawyers could argue, is that they not only took away his immediate income, but future income. And they could have also argued, you know, this is a quarterback who has been to the Super Bowl, was back within a game of going back to the Super Bowl, a throw away from winning a Super Bowl, and had he continued to play, possibly got back on track.
Right.
You can use actual examples to show that you messed up future income for years and years to come.
Defamation of character.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I think it's on the higher ends of this. But the bigger picture is this. The story's not going away just because the settlement happened.
Right.
That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be talked about. Right away, his lawyer started talking about maybe he's going to end up with Charlotte or
Patriots.
Charlotte or with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I don't think either of those things, Charlotte, Carolina, either of those things are going to happen. But I think that's just his lawyer talking. But also, it doesn't matter to me anymore. Like he got his money, which I 100% support.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you suing for? And I know people will say, well, you should have fought it and exposed them. And to me, the exposure is there. Like, it's an L for the NFL.
This is an admission of guilt by the NFL.
Right. It's not legally. It's not actually.
Yes.
But the NFL has such long money that if there was really actually nothing, why wouldn't you just continue to fight it forever? Because the story's never going, literally never going away. No. It's going to be in history books.
Mm-hmm.
Our children's children will read about this. So what? Why not argue it to the end to show that this didn't happen? That's in my opinion. Now, we also know that there are conversations that happen in every business on every level, and you could call all those conversations collusion.
100%.
If you really get into the technical term of what is collusion. Yeah. I don't think that there was like a grand meeting of the owners and it was like, we shall not allow him to pass. And then the mallet comes down.
You don't think so?
And the curtains rise and like the ravens are released. It's not that deep. Okay. Like they don't have the recording of that. And they're like, we really can't let this out because like YouTube is going to crash.
Based on the amount
views.
Of money that you're saying that they give Kaepernick, it may have been that big.
What is that to the NFL though?
That's fair.
I mean, what is that?
That's fair.
All right, what's next?
Okay, Antonio Brown and the Steelers president Art Rooney finally sat down to talk about what went wrong during his 9 years in Pittsburgh. After the meeting, Brown, a.k.a. Mr. Big Chest, tweeted, "We both agree that it's time to move on. Joy, Antonio Brown is single-handedly ruining the Steelers' season next year. Win it or quit it."
I'm going to quit it because he is not single-handedly doing any of this. I have a question. Am I missing something with the Mr. Big Chest thing? Is it something over my head?
I mean, are we missing something with the blonde mustache?
No.
Are we missing
I understand all that.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. I'm.
It's a new self-given nickname, right?
That's what yes. I'm 100% out on self-given nicknames.
But you like the Black Mamba.
Like, I've always wanted a nickname.
And the Prince of Privilege.
We gave you that
name.
Yeah,
I gave you that name. He likes to think he's so privileged that he gave himself the nickname.
I know.
I heard him talking about his girlfriend the other day. I was like, all right, whatever.
It makes sense. Okay, but I've always wanted a nickname, and no nicknames stick because my first name is so short. Yeah. So sometimes
and
people
Joyce,
call me JT, but it's like that. Any name that's like a shorter version of your actual name, I don't consider to be a nickname.
Right. But what if you had a nickname, what would you make
like
your nickname?
Like B is not your nickname.
No.
That's the first letter of your first name.
Yeah, it's accurate.
B New? Is that a nickname?
No, because that's the first letter in the first three letters of his name. And it's something that's completely not your name. Like your parents did not name you Prince of Privilege.
Oh, my brother calls me Jonathan.
You and your brother have some stuff going on.
Anyway,
the point is, Mr. Big Chest. I feel like Mr. Big Chest is not going to stick.
I'm going to make it stick.
I will say this about Antonio Brown.
What?
While he's creating a lot of noise and he's doing a lot of tweeting, and there were a lot of things that happened before the season, and then towards the end of the season, and then obviously since the season has ended, that would point to Antonio Brown as a troublemaker, and he's just a lot of noise and a lot of trouble, and it's not worth it. First of all, he is worth it. Okay, just let's everyone know. Everyone's seen some football lately. Antonio Brown is still the best receiver in the league. If he's not the best, he's the second best.
Right.
If you like Julio Jones more, or the third, if you like Odell more, but they're all really interchangeable as the best. Okay, and that's just a matter of opinion. At the top.
For some years now.
And I really feel like Antonio Brown is the best. But yeah, he comes with a personality, as most diva wide receivers do. And
Most
wide receivers do. And he's worth every penny. And the Steelers are not going to be better without him next year. Yes, I realize they have Juju Smith-Schuster, and they have Switzer, and they have James Washington, and they're going to get some other pieces, and they're really good at drafting receivers, and all that's fine and nice, but you don't just replace Antonio Brown. That's not how it works. You don't just replace Le'Veon Bell. And for everyone keeps saying that, James Conner. Did they make the playoffs this year? Because they didn't make the playoffs this year. They didn't make the playoffs this year. So yeah,
nope.
You did miss Le'Veon
Ravens
Bell.
Did.
Okay? You didn't make the playoffs this year. So my whole point, and I was getting a little pushback on this, and I just like to remind everyone that I don't care. Is that it's not about Antonio Brown in the situation with the Steelers. And he met with Art Rooney. He said they're moving on.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a culture breakdown in Pittsburgh. That is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Antonio Brown feels like he can talk this way about this organization, he can do the things that he's doing, which I overall don't have a problem with because this is what he feels like he needs to do.
Right.
Is the Steelers' problem. It starts from the top. If you are the leader of an organization, in no situation can you come out and do anything but take full responsibility for everything that happens, good and bad. That's how it works. That's how it works. And everyone was like, oh, Ben Roethlisberger always takes the blame for everything. No, he doesn't. He takes the blame a lot. He takes the blame a lot.
He passed it around.
But he also passes it around. Yeah. Right? And that's not saying that Ben Roethlisberger isn't a Hall of Famer.
Right.
That's not saying that he is not a great quarterback or that he hasn't been a great leader or that he hasn't won Super Bowls. All those things are facts. Yeah. He can also have flaws.
Well, the cultural breakdown for the Steelers is one thing because we all within families have our issues. But when those become public.
Right.
From a big piece of that and demanding that they need to be moved and saying other things in Facebook Lives, like, if you don't have good camaraderie, if your team's full of haters, then I don't want to be there. That doesn't feel like a reaction to where he's coming from. Like, those things coming out in public are ruining the season before it even gets started,
right,
in my opinion.
But that's not all on Antonio Brown, is what I'm saying. Like, a lot of this is getting put on Antonio Brown because people don't know how to absorb personalities.
Okay. Yeah.
And I feel like it's some of Antonio Brown's fault. It's some of Ben Roethlisberger's fault. And I think the biggest chunk of fault goes to Mike Tomlin because he is the one who's supposed to create the environment and create the culture and then be on the same page with Ben Roethlisberger to institute that culture. Look at what wins.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Everyone has to be on the same page. We say it all the time. Football's the ultimate team sport. You can't pick and choose. You can treat everybody differently, but you have to treat everybody fairly.
Mm.
And when you're not doing that, then other people start to take notice of it. And
Hell
it creates
yeah.
chaos because everyone has an ego. It's a lot to manage that many egos. Okay? It's a lot to manage my own ego. I can't imagine managing that many egos. It takes a great skill.
Yeah.
But it also takes a great understanding. And the person at the top has to have that understanding, and then it goes down from there. Antonio Brown's never going to be bigger than the quarterback. And if you are bigger than the quarterback, you're in a bad situation.
Odell Beckham, Giants. Yes,
that's not a good situation.
No.
So he was in a good situation with playing a dependent position with Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know where he's going to end up. Hopefully in a situation where he is playing with a good quarterback so we can see more of his skill utilized in
if he's on the field,
the NFL. Right. But overall, I think there's plenty of blame to go around, and it starts with the culture that it is in Pittsburgh. And by the way, I'm from Pittsburgh, so for all you Steelers fans who are flipping out calling me a hater, just dismiss me with it.
She's
right.
Speaking what she knows.
I still have a 412 phone number. Just relax.
Oh, hey, shouts out.
Yeah.
Okay. Last summer, Odell Beckham Jr. signed a 5-year, $90 million contract extension with the New York Giants, and now there's growing speculation that the Giants may be interested in trading OBJ during the offseason. Joy, Odell Beckham Jr. will help a team get to the playoffs next season. Win it or quit it.
I will win it. I do think he is going to be traded.
Yeah. That's interesting enough. Because that's making two teams much better. Because if you're trading OBJ, you're getting a lot back.
Are you?
You have to.
What's a
lot? Why would you do that?
Are you going to get, like, you're going to get a first round pick,
a role player that to fill a spot, and something else. I'll take a coach too.
Are you? Are you really gonna get all that?
$90 million, five-year deal. What are you trading for if you're not gonna get something back?
I mean, you are gonna get something back, but
a new quarterback.
I don't know how much you're actually going to get back for Odell.
Like, why do you think they're getting traded then?
It depends on what the Giants do this year. Like, if they take a quarterback in the draft, which they obviously should. Obviously, they should take a quarterback. We can stop pretending it's getting ridiculous at this point.
But there are other quarterbacks out there that can do better than some of the quarterbacks in this draft. I'm just saying that.
Okay, but you still need a quarterback.
Yes.
So just take one. Because one of those draft picks that you're going that you have is going to end up being a bust.
Mm-hmm.
So just risk it and take a quarterback
because
you need one. It's not going to make a difference. Eli Manning is done. We're done with Eli Manning. Thank you for the many years. Thank you for beating the Patriots those two times. It was very important to me personally, especially the one where you kept them from going undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Very important to me. So I think you're a Hall of Famer just for that. Eli, but we're done here. We're done with the Eli Manning thing. Like, we're all in agreement. We all agree on that, right?
Yeah. And thanks for the Visa commercials with Saquon.
Yeah,
like,
great commercials.
Like
many years
like
of
those.
Great commercials with your brother. Please continue to do them.
Yes.
They're very clever. They're very funny. I can't, off the top of my head, remember any of them, but I laughed at all of them. Anyway, the more important thing is the Patriots were the ones who were pushing for Odell last season. And had that happened, wow, what a different world we would live in right now. I mean, the Patriots still won the Super Bowl, so our lives are still ruined. But.
Yes,
but,
of course.
Tom Brady with Odell, if that was to still happen, I don't know. Like, it's almost at the point now where could he be successful with a receiver like Odell? Because he's so used to playing with, like,
I'll say this.
Julian Edelman.
There's a mix because Tom Brady has found success in a big way with top wide receivers like Randy Moss, but also let's not forget Chad Ochocinco / Chad Johnson went over to the Patriots and didn't exactly know what he was doing, but he was still a big name on that roster. So it honestly depends on how much of an actual football mind and player that Odell Beckham is.
I actually think that he would be a great fit in that regard. I know people think like personalities don't work with the Patriots, mm-hmm. and my argument is always I give you Gronkowski. Yes, personalities work with the Patriots. Gronk isn't even, he's not even on a first name basis. He's on a half of his last name basis, okay? he's just Gronk. And you don't even have to explain yourself. You just say Gronk, and everyone knows who you're talking about and what comes with it.
Yeah.
So he has been able to be himself in that environment because he's also a hard worker. Yeah. And he's clearly shown that he can keep a relationship with Tom Brady. And I think that Odell is a workout warrior. Like, I don't think he's a guy who's lazy.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy that works hard in practice. And I think that he may have some moments where he comes across as being selfish or like the celebrations, whatever, which I obviously don't care about, but you know, weird, crusty people care about that.
Right.
But the point is, I think he can get into a place where he would fit into that system. Like, he could have his personality and be who he is. And I think they really just care about doing your job. Like, at the end of the day, it's do your job. So
yeah.
I mean, I think he works there.
You can criticize him for caring too much about social media. And I would say, when you say he's a workout warrior, I'm like, yeah, it's all social media content. He would do anything for a great video and some good likes and clicks.
Well, you gotta work out to do that.
Yes, exactly. But we don't see Kaepernick putting out a lot of workout videos. I'm just saying.
Yes, he does.
We don't see as much Odell. I'm just saying there may be questions about what he cares about the most in the Patriots locker room. Caring about football the most is the best way to succeed. So it's not as clear as a
obviously
plug and play,
the Patriots felt that way because they were pushing. They're apparently pushing for him hard this season.
He's young. He didn't change at any point in time. 26 years old.
We'll see. I just want to see him with a quarterback that is competent.
Can throw it to him.
Yeah.
Down the field.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Hear ye, hear ye. Charles Barkley is petty.
Mm.
We love Chuck.
Oh. Gotta love Chuck.
One of the greatest television hosts of all time.
Yes. If you guys,
in the history of television.
Yes. If you have any critiques about the way I broadcast, I come from the school of
Charles Barkley.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is smart because he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about, he has a problem with this player mobility thing. He's not into it. He's down on Anthony Davis right now. He said, you don't ruin your reputation as a great player. He's one of the nicest guys in the world. Remember, your agent works for you. You don't work for him. He handled the situation wrong. It's going to come back to bite him in the ass. It's unfortunate because, like I said before the season, I thought he was the second best player in the world. He's a great person. Blah, 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 blah. He says it's a bad situation. It's a bad look for the NBA because he can't go out there and give it 100% because he's worried about getting hurt. The Pelicans ain't trying to win. And you already see he's had less than 3 points in the last few weeks. It's ridiculous. I hear all these clowns on TV saying it's great that players are getting all this power. Let me tell you guys something. Workers are never going to have power over their ownership ever. It might work for a couple guys, but in the history of the world, no owners have overtaken or workers have overtaken people who own the business. And when these guys are sitting home locked out in a couple years, I want you to remember I told y'all that.
Woo.
So there's a lot going on there. I disagree. I don't think that there is ever a situation where talent is going to have less power overall than ownership, because at the end of the day, and I think about this a lot, because there's always conversations about contracts and taking less money or taking money and who has power and who doesn't. At the end of the day, you can say, and I was really thinking about this with the Kaepernick thing, like, you can say, like, oh, this is my platform. Okay, that's cool. So do you think that we're going to start seriously watching the AAF, like, for real, and spending the money that we spend on the NFL if all of the NFL players decide we're not going to do that anymore? Now, for a little while, we might, like, just because we want to watch some football. But at the end of the day, we're going to be like, yeah, I'd like to see some actual talent again. Can we make that happen?
Yeah.
Do you remember when, like, we didn't have NFL referees for a couple of weeks? Do you remember that?
My boy Golden ate
that was the NFL referees. Okay, we have been accustomed to a certain level of talent in a certain product.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've been spoiled with this. Okay, so this idea that the number one top players in any league don't actually run the platform, it is nonsense. Like, yes, I do understand how ownership and workers and employee whatever relationships are, but when it comes to talent, it's just different. Like, you can say what you want, but the economy went down, not just for the Cavs owner, Dan Gilbert, when LeBron left, for the entire city when LeBron left. Okay, they are now in, they are now one of the worst teams in the league. Okay, just like that. So you can't tell me that LeBron doesn't have that kind of power and he's exercising it. And Anthony Davis doesn't have LeBron power, but he's kind of close, because if he doesn't get to LA, then the situation with LeBron and the Lakers, who are a powerful organization that influence a very large city, things are going to matter. Like, there's going to be a lot of unhappy people. So overall, I don't agree that there aren't major, major influences and power from players over ownerships and over leagues when it gets to this level. Like, there's just too much money involved and too much talent. I mean, even Dante talking about, can you imagine the playoffs without LeBron James?
That's worse than the Super Bowl we just watched. I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Who wants to do that? Nobody. Nobody wants to do that. The league doesn't want that. The advertisers don't want that. Mm-mm. Nobody wants that. So I'm sorry for that really annoying noise. I don't know why I came out like that, but it was important. So that's why I made it sound like that, because it's emphasized. So overall, like, I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I get what he's trying to say about Anthony Davis's reputation, but I just don't feel like Anthony Davis's reputation has taken a hit. Like, I don't think any less of Anthony Davis in this situation. He gave an organization a heads up, which is more than most players do when they leave somewhere. And he's given what he could to that organization, and they didn't give it back. Like,
he just gave the courtesy of lying, saying that everyone's on the table for him to get traded. Like, he's giving you guys what you want.
And like, maybe Clutch Sports was a little aggressive in that spot, but like, aggressive wins, dude. Like, I don't have a problem with anything. The only issue I have was all the trades were being leaked, because I felt like that influenced the mentality of young players. It wasn't a good look. But like, at the end of the day,
that ain't on him.
It's not on Anthony Davis. No. So I get what he's trying to say as far as that goes. I disagree about the players having power. They do have the power. They have more power than they think. And in the NFL, too. And that's why I think there's definitely going to be a lockout the next time the CBA comes up for the NFL. There's just things that need to change.
With more money?
No, you could start with lifetime benefits, because, you know, it's a collision sport that makes billions of dollars.
You're talking about NFL?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
NBA has lifetime benefits? NBA. No. NBA has lifetime benefits,
It's time for High Key Low-Key.
All right, High Key Low-Key. I do this every week.
This is tech.
We already have a thing. So I just talk about it. All right. So Two Chainz and LeBron have an album coming out.
Yes.
High key, I'm hype. Low key, stop telling LeBron to do less things. It's really going to be okay. I know that's not the high key, low key you were expecting. You're expecting me to say LeBron needs to do less. But Two Chainz tweeted, it's been quite the journey to get here. All night studio sessions, for a little word out, reflecting and opening up on these records, as I call it, therapy. So maybe he's just talking about himself. This is my each one, teach one body of work. I want to celebrate Black excellence. Rap or go to the league. The album A&R by King James.
What does that mean? LeBron listened to it last. LeBron told him some artists he should put on.
I think that LeBron and him had a nice brunch, or, you know, maybe an early dinner, opened a nice bottle of wine, had a conversation about doing it, thought it was a good idea. Then Two Chainz went in the studio, did the work, sent LeBron, via phone, a couple of the tracks. LeBron listened, like, ooh, banger. Return. Let's use that one. And then at the end of the day, it was minimal involvement by LeBron, and then he put his name on it.
This isn't some random person out of Cleveland. This is Two Chainz, arguably top five rappers for a lot of people, active rappers right now. He was putting out an album with some heat on it anyway. For him to just loop in LeBron James and give him an A&R title, like, there has to be something to it. I just hope the album smacks as much as Pretty Girls Like Trap Music, because that was a classic.
I do hope that it's a good album. I think it will be.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. I know everyone's freaking out about LeBron doing all this extra stuff. It's like Dante said, they've got some time in the day to fill up with doing things. Could be doing negative things instead of just doing a lot of projects. We knew that's why he came to Los Angeles. It's going to be okay, as long as he makes playoffs. If he doesn't, then
low key, he should have been doing all that.
They're a little different.
Yeah.
All right. So the NBA has announced it is backing a new professional league in Africa. High key, yes.
Yes.
Low key, yes.
Yes.
So it was born of a collaboration between the NBA and FIBA. Mm-hmm. It's a 12-team league that will begin in January of 2020. And former U.S. President Barack Obama, that's how it's written here. It's actually the only U.S. president that we acknowledge. Barack Obama is going to have direct involvement with his operations. So we know that there's going to be a lot of press with this. Yeah, it's awesome.
True African-American. You know what I mean? Like, he's out here. This is huge.
Yeah, so it's going to be Angola, Egypt, Kenya, Morocco, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, South Africa, and Tunisia.
Tunisia. Like a little, like your
like
cousin.
Tunisia, yeah. Okay.
Tunisia.
Anyway,
Tunisia!
No nation will have more than two teams in the league, but I'm excited about it. All right, and finally, high key, China is going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. High key, yes, of course. Low key, I feel like this should have happened like immediately. It was only 3 years, but I feel like it's taken longer for her
passing,
to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, she
passed 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. China, I am not a huge WWE fan, but I did love China.
She's a staple. Back in 97, it was on still. Like, when she came into the game, pro wrestling game, in 97, like, Bret Hart was up there, Undertaker, like, it was like the golden era.
This was like the time in wrestling where you could do whatever you wanted.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch old wrestling, there was someone tweeted me a wrestling clip the other day, and it was just literally, I can't remember who it was, but it was just wrestlers just throwing women in bikinis around the
like out of the ring
just drop kicking women.
And okay, like, well, okay,
it's like,
it was probably Trish Stratus,
like,
who probably said some like,
this
you know what I mean, she popped off.
Like, she's literally in a bikini. Like, how is this even happening? But it actually might have been. But anyway, China was awesome, so well deserved.
Yes. The ninth wonder of the world. Shouts out, China.
Yeah.
That was her nickname.
Lose the power rankings.
Damn it.
Lose the power rankings. These are the losers of the week.
You have to redo the whole thing.
No, you lost. This is how it works. Yeah, you missed your chance. All right, so let's start with baseball contracts. So Manny Machado got a $300 million 10-year contract with the San Diego Padres.
What's the figures on that?
That's $300 million for 10 years to play baseball for the San Diego Padres. Deserved, I guess. Like, Manny Machado is a superstar,
right,
in MLB and a great player, and he was going to make a ton of money. Now, Bryce Harper has not signed yet, and he is going to probably want more. Also, the other main transcendent star of MLB in general is Bryce Harper, so deserved also. But the conversation last week was like, they're not going to get these 10-year contracts they're talking about. Clearly, people are still doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem with any athlete making any amount of money whatsoever. Because here's the thing. I don't make less money because they do. So it just doesn't.
Right.
It's not how it works.
Doesn't affect your pockets.
It doesn't affect me in any way. So I don't care. And in general, I'm not interested in saving owners' money. It's not something I'm concerned about.
Yeah. Give it to us.
At all. But I don't think a 10-year contracts are logical. We don't even keep presidents for 10 years. Okay, you got to get up out of here after 8 years.
Yes.
That's just not how it works. So in this case, hopefully it's 4. Please, God. Just very serious.
Hashtag vote.
Hashtag vote in the states that matter, more importantly. Anyway, the point is, I don't understand why they're still doing 10-year contracts. Very happy that they're making money. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I don't understand 10 years from now how that's going to be logical.
I mean, him in the San Diego Sun, He'll be okay. 10 years in San Diego is more like a hard 6-7.
Yeah, anywhere else?
Yeah.
Because it's San Diego.
Yeah.
San Diego is just the most chill place on earth.
Oh, you guys got to go.
It's too chill for me.
You guys got to go. Don't come to L.A. Go to San Diego.
I am too high strung for San Diego. I can't do any place that's like, yeah, we don't do whatever today.
Yeah.
No, like I have a do whatever day, but we can't just do that every day. Like, there's certain beach towns where people are just like, what are you doing today? I don't know
how San Diego makes money. I don't know how they make money.
I mean, yeah, I thought about working today, but I called it, man, because I'd rather just chill. So
yeah.
I can't work every day.
We'll
maybe work tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. We come from cities where you have to work to earn a living. Like,
right.
Everyone comes out here from the Midwest. They're like, what are these people doing outside? Does anyone go to work?
Right.
Does anyone go to work? It's like, oh, kind of.
They kind of work. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's just, even talking about it gives me anxiety. All right. Next is the French have made lightsabering a sport.
Yeah.
I guess an attempt to make fencing more appealing to kids.
Which is...
Fencing is actually Loki, badass.
Oh,
I would
thank you.
Love to be awesome at fencing.
Yes.
I don't know where you go to fence.
I'll tell you right now, I'm wearing my Ball State stuff today, but Notre Dame, one of the number one fencing schools out there. You want to be a champion, you'll be a national champion out there, kids. You watch the lightsaber and come to Notre Dame, get you a ship, because we fence out here.
Okay. That surprises no one.
On guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say.
On guard.
I mean, I just feel like I got the elbow swing down, like,
it's like violent tennis.
But they're so, it's so weird, right? Like, it's like a weird.
I mean, it's a weird
thing. It's like, how do you come upon fencing?
Can I stand up and fence real quick?
No, because it's not enough room in the movie. We gotta finish it. What's the movie? Is it Yes Man?
What do you mean? Oh, which one?
Yes Man? No, not
Yes Man. That's the one with.
What's the movie where he doesn't have a he doesn't no that's yeah that's the wrong I'm thinking yes. of the wrong movie.
Holy Man.
What's the movie where he doesn't have a best man? Paul Rudd.
I love you, man.
I love you, man.
Thank
you. Don't they fence in that? He does fencing in that.
I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time.
That's based in California.
It was a really good movie, though. That was based in what was fencing? Michelle Jones was great in it?
Yeah, she was. Anyway, we're completely off the point. The point is that they've made lightsabers an official sport. Lightsabering's not a sport. First of all, I am a huge nerd.
Okay.
I've admitted it. I love Star Wars. Okay, I've seen every Star Wars movie except for Solo.
So why are you hating?
It's
on Netflix. Solo's on Netflix.
I know.
I just
haven't gotten around to watching it.
Roma's on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet.
Like, I'm trying to finish Punisher. Anyway, yes. The thing. Stop taking yourself so seriously. It's very fresh. Like, Star Wars nerds, Star Wars nerds and Star Trek nerds, I really have a very low patience for, because I like Star Wars, but it's like, you believe in Star Wars,
right?
All right? And that's a fundamental problem.
I mean,
you can't base your life philosophies on Star Wars.
Arguably, yes. If you build your life around Star Wars, that's a very privileged thing to do. If you have the option to do so, then do it. You know, if you can build around it. I just want Star Wars and Star Trek fans to just battle out so we can only talk about one of them. Like, only one should exist.
I've been saying that for years.
Just give me one, because I got confused at one point.
We cannot have a faction of society that's Star Trek nerds and Star Wars nerds.
No.
And just to be clear, I am a Star Wars nerd. I don't have time for Star Trek. I don't have time for the beam me down, or what was it, beam me up, Scotty?
Yeah, beam me up, Scotty.
Anyway, the point is, it's not sports.
The guy from The Reading Rainbow
We're trying hard enough to convince people that cheerleading is a sport.
Kunta.
Okay.
He was in it. Kunta Kinte is in it. If we're choosing one, we should definitely choose one with the black people in it. I'm just saying, I hear you. I hear you. I agree with you, but
We're going with Star Wars.
Yes.
Anyway, but it's not sport.
Not sport.
Finally, the All-Star Game was this weekend.
Yes.
Had lots of fun moments. Anthony Hamilton remixed the national anthem, but I love Anthony Hamilton, so I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
I know that's not doesn't make any sense, because usually I can't stand that, but he did a good job. And the national anthem at the All-Star Game has become a thing now.
Oh,
yeah, shout out to Fergie.
Yes.
She made a thing. Okay, we didn't need that. But anyway, J. Cole missed a dunk.
Okay, you act like it was like a plan.
No, he missed the impromptu.
He missed the impromptu dunk.
Everyone has seen it, okay? He got up there, all right? It was a very great attempt. I actually like it. I think it's more like J. Cole-ish to not make the dunk. That place would have went nuts if he did. It would have been an all-time moment. Yes. But I think it actually makes more sense for J. Cole not to make the dunk.
Yeah,
Dunk contest was fun. I love the Shaq dunk.
It was fun.
Yes. How you jump over Shaq and hang in the rim on your elbow.
True that. 100%. I love that. I agree with you. First dunk contest player to win who came from the G League. I love all that. But until you put actual stars in there to do the exact same dunks we saw, I'm not interested. I need stars doing it. Like Zion next year, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah,
like
I'm with you on that, but I thought the dunks were good.
They were.
The dunks were good.
Other than the plane thing.
Anyway, the weekend was fun, but it just is a constant reminder of how much better the NBA All-Star Game is than every other major sports All-Star Game. It's just miles ahead of it in every department. Like, the NBA All-Star Weekend, like, looks like a fun place to be.
Oh, my
gosh. If you're a fan, or if you're in the business.
If you just like the smile.
If you just, like fun things,
yes.
It looks like a fun place to be. Like, normal places, like the bank in wherever the NBA All-Star game is seems like a more fun place to be. That's how fun it looks.
They should have it at a bank just to test it out.
Right. Like, you may even be, like, you're, like, at the DMV in the city. Yes. Like, yeah, like, it's just better here this weekend. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like I've been here as long. Like, it's a normal 2 hours.
Yeah, that really was in Charlotte.
Like an hour 45. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
This is my solution, because the MLB All-Star Weekend is it's baseball, so it's whatever. But I do enjoy the Home Run Derby.
Yes.
Okay. I don't care about the game at all, but the Home Run Derby is fun. Now, I don't necessarily want to be where the MLB All-Star Game is because I don't care. But the Home Run Derby is fun.
San Diego. I went in San Diego. It was really fun.
San Diego is a nice city. It is a nice city. Yeah. That's why. NHL All-Star Game, I mean, it's hockey. Yeah. My focus is the NFL, okay? Because the Pro Bowl is a throwaway situation. Mm-hmm. We can all admit that. They get numbers because people have nothing to do. Here's how you fix the Pro Bowl, all right? Now, the NFL obviously has a way bigger audience than the NBA. We know that. So, and that's not shade. Like, it's just facts. It's just their All-Star game sucks because no one really plays, and it's, you know, it's on the off week, and then they play it in Orlando, and it's always raining, and it's just like there's all these crazy things going on. Here's how you fix it. Here's how you make the Pro Bowl actually matter, get views, and make it feel like it's an exciting thing that's going on.
Talk to them.
Here's what you do. I figured it all out because I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh, right, I'm a genius. I should run the league. Here's what it is. First of all, the Pro Bowl needs to be moved to whatever city the Super Bowl is in.
Okay,
having it in Orlando or having it in Hawaii, well, Hawaii is beautiful,
right,
and I'm sure the players loved it. Mm-hmm. It really is for only people that can afford to travel to Hawaii to watch a football game,
yes,
or people that live in Hawaii, which we love, but I can't go there.
No.
So, and Orlando is kind of the same. Like, it's just a random place. There's no NFL team there. It's just a place to have it where there's lots of facilities and hotels.
Yeah.
Have it in the city where the Super Bowl is being held. Don't have it on Sunday. Have it on Thursday.
Okay. Thursday night football?
Thursday night. Stop having it during the day on Sunday where people are fatigued from the NFL season. They don't really care about this meaningless game because they're excited about the actual game that actually matters. It's coming up. Have it on Thursday. So leading up to it, have the skill challenge Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Have the game on Thursday at the same place that the Super Bowl is going to be. You can fix the field in time. It's really not that serious. Okay, they've turned around fields in less time.
Yeah.
You got 3 whole days. Have the Pro Bowl on Thursday. Have a celebrity flag football game on Friday.
Woo!
And what does this do? This changes the entire environment of the Super Bowl week. By Thursday on Super Bowl week, we are out of stories. We've talked about all of the headlines. There's nothing else. So we're fatigued. We're making stuff up. Okay,
yeah.
It's been 2 weeks. We have nothing to talk about. We're just dying for some football. Dying for some football. Perfect. Thursday, we've got some football. That means we have something to talk about on Friday that we can mix in with the same story we've been talking about for the Super Bowl for the entire week. And it's fun. And all of the players, all of the Hall of Famers, all of the media, all of the celebrities that are in town for the Super Bowl will be there on Thursday. So they can just go to the game. So you all of a sudden already have built-in star factor right there. All the players that are there for the NFL honors, the top players in the league. Everyone's going to be there and be on the sidelines watching this game. Everyone in that city is already excited for football. They're going to go to the game. Most of the fans that are going to the game are already in town for the Super Bowl by Thursday.
Yes, they are. Yes, they
are. Okay, because they're trying to make a weekend of it. Or if they weren't, that's an extra day for the city and all of the festivities. It's genius. How has not anyone thought about this already?
No, that is a great idea. And also, you take up the whole week so that people like LeBron and Anthony Davis can't just drop some trade rumor news and take all the momentum away from the Super Bowl. You build momentum to the Super Bowl instead of take it away from
it. That's what I'm saying. Yes. Like, it's on Sunday. No one cares about it. Like, don't just stop trying to pretend like it's a big deal. It's not. I don't even know who won this year. This is the AFC, I guess, right? Because Patrick Mahomes won MVP. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This would make it have at least some feeling of excitement.
Yeah.
It would have celebrity factor, star factor. Have some actual culture in the and around the game. Have somebody perform at halftime. Did you see that J. Cole halftime performance?
Amazing. Realize
that NBA arenas are more intimate, but like, there's so many solutions that you have to this if you make this move. So just do it. Just give me 10% of the profits and it's fine. You're welcome. That's it. So I fixed it. All right. What's in the culture report this week?
Cardi.
The Migos culture report.
Yes, the Migos culture report. Cardi B and Bruno Mars team up again to give us a little bit more of something nobody asked for.
Ah!
And their new song, Please Me, Bruno and Cardi do a worse version of what they already did with the Grammy-winning song, Finesse. Joy, you seem to like this trash song. What do you think?
What did you call it?
Trash.
First of all.
I did say it's, you know, yeah, it's bad. It's not. Okay, Bruno Mars may be the biggest opportunist we've ever seen. Like, I'm done hating on him for cultural appropriation, because he on the biggest stage possible in the Grammys.
You said it right, cultural appropriation.
Yeah. Appropriation. But now, after Cardi B wins for Album of the Year, he wants to. Now we're getting a song with Cardi.
I'm sure they just popped into the studio right after she won the Grammy.
I'm saying that the rollout was planned, and now I'm starting to.
Does it benefit Cardi at all?
It doesn't benefit Cardi. Cardi's doing a favor for Bruno. Cardi is doing a favor for Bruno Mars.
Cardi was on Bruno's tour.
That was before.
Okay,
talk about the song.
Stop. First of all, it's a good song. Okay, it's a jam.
What you like about it?
I like how it sounds.
Oh, what noise is he trying to mimic? Like we were sitting listening to it. We're like, who is it? Like old Bobby Brown? Like
don't
what, New Edition?
The
like
Bruno Mars hate. Okay, because here's the thing about it.
Okay,
all right?
This song hate.
Here's
then.
The
Check
about,
that away.
Here's the thing about Bruno Mars.
Okay.
Bruno Mars makes nothing, literally nothing but bangers. Nothing.
That's fair. Completely fair.
Okay?
I don't even hate him
so
for that.
So what is the problem? Do you not enjoy bangers? I enjoy bangers. Do you like a nice banger?
I'm actually not too big
I love bangers.
A fan of bangers.
Well,
I
don't
like radio
fan.
Bangers.
Let's
I really don't like, honestly, I was just talking to somebody the other day about how J. Cole, old radio J. Cole is bad.
Like, doesn't it just make you feel better? Like, it makes you feel, like, wealthy.
As good as, what was the one that he did it was right after 24K Magic that he did. The one song he did that was great.
That's what I like.
That's what I like. As great as That's What I Like was how bad as 24K Magic was.
Gorilla? I love Gorilla.
What is that?
Bang, bang, like Gorilla.
I'm running away from Bruno Mars hits, obviously.
Mean?
I haven't even heard
Catch a Grenade for you?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm going all
that
the way
back? That was during the transitional
Nothing
period.
Nothing but bangers.
You remember the Lazy song?
Okay, we're not going to talk about that one.
Okay. Oh, so you got my going back.
It's still very catchy, though.
No, it's a great song. It's a great song, but listening to that to... Let me move on. Right. The Oscars are this weekend, and the 91st Annual Award. Oh, dang, I'm not throwing off all
the way. Oscars feel big this year, don't they?
It's...
In general, I don't care about the Oscars, but like... They feel important this year.
Well, Black Panther, nominated 5 times, won the biggest honors for Best Picture. They're nominated for a bunch of other stuff. Best Original Score to my guy Ludwig, who shout out 21 Savage in the Grammys, so I messed with him. Sound mixing, costume design, production design, sound editing. They're going to win 3 or 5 of these.
Okay, so they're up for... They'll definitely win for costume design.
Yeah.
Who are they up against in Best Picture?
Best Picture nominees are Black Panther, obviously... Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Roma, Green Book, A Star Is Born, and Vice. Yeah.
Strong lineup.
So everyone is saying Roma should win.
I mean,
but
general, it's redundant, obviously, Best Picture, there's usually good movies there, but...
Well yes, fair. But Roma, they said people are not going to vote for Roma because they don't want Netflix to really take the market on production and entertainment, so they might snub them and end up throwing it to Green Book, which you said it was good.
Green Book is great. It's not better than Black Panther. As far as
is it better than Bohemian Rhapsody?
But I don't think that Bohemian Rhapsody should even have been nominated for that. And I love Freddie Mercury, and I thought the movie was great.
What about Star Is Born?
Star Is Born is really good. I cried, but I also it's the 5th time they've made Star Is Born. So
yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Based on the fact that Black Panther is Lion King, I think it should win too.
Oh my God, Black Panther! I would be happy with Black Panther. Black Klansman is a sleeper, actually, because Black Klansman is a great, great movie.
I think they might go ahead and just give Spike Lee Best Director for that, because like, what has he won? And I think that was really great for him to come back out of nowhere with that.
Yeah,
it's good. Nominees for Best Actor: Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe, the guy who played Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody, and
you don't want to try
his name. And the main guy in Green Book, who's not. Marshall Ali.
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, Viggo.
Also very interesting. My guess for that, I think it's Christian Bale. Vice is very good.
I just saw Vice last week.
He does not look like himself. And generally, they like to reward you transforming your body into a crazy looking person.
No, he'd be acting his ass off.
He does.
Yeah.
Or on, in this
yeah,
case.
And working in and out. Yeah.
Like, remember Charlize Theron in Monster?
Woo!
She looked crazy.
That movie now.
Yeah, I don't. That movie gives me the bad feels. Like how yes. Handmaid's Tale gives me the bad feels. And yeah. what's that Netflix show? Black Mirror.
Oh yes.
Yeah, it just like makes you sad.
I
and,
saw
like,
the interactive. I did
good.
The interactive movie last night. Actually, the Black Mirror interactive movie.
Yeah, I'm off. Like, I think we bailed on it after the pod person episode where she put like the body into the water with the salts and stuff. Do you remember that one?
Early.
We didn't really watch them in order, though.
You don't have you get Black Mirror. You guys are such conspiracy theorists, and
after every episode, we were like, yeah, that happened.
I was like, oh, no,
it
happened or it's going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's probably going to happen. Yeah.
Oh, that's this whole series is the future.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, and no.
All right, thanks for joining us this week. Thank you to Donte Jones for giving us a scoop on who the next Lakers head coach is.
LeBron's friend, right?
LeBron's friend, yeah. He would not appreciate us saying that. But
I know.
But we appreciate him coming on. Please go and subscribe on the YouTube channel, Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast. Follow Brandon at Newman Show 99, myself at Joy Taylor Talks, and the podcast at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Ooh.